Peter Godbold, who's also our IT professional. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer, and to Ben Birch, who makes the stream do all the things that the stream does that means enough to you to allow you to tune in every night. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Be part of the solution. Join Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Kids, it's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to book, chapter, and verse 128 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively right here on the listener-supported Head-On Radio Network, also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch. That's Coal River Mountain Watch at crmw.net. Stop by crmw.net and have a look at what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Indeed, today is a Thursday, and it is March the 20th, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time on a Thursday evening, March 20, 2008, you're indeed listening to a live show, and you are more than welcome to call in and chat with me and just anybody else that happens to show up. The toll-free lines are 877, the number 4, head-on. That translates into 877-443-2366. The toll line, if you happen to have unlimited long distance, is area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. And the phone will be answered by Agnes or Bob. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. That's Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I do try to check the email during the breaks. Also, the chat room is active if you choose to participate that way. It's a good evening to stop by the chat room. There are lots of folks there and lots of activity. It's always a great pleasure to be involved in the Head On Radio Network chat room, which is active during all of the program. Our show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests as well as to the guests' audio archives and archives for our Just Us segments of Strictly Confidential from all the past shows. You'll find links there to the chat room. You'll find links to the Head On Radio Network main site, where you can find out about all the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, of which I'm only a small part, and you will also find the PayPal button there to help us keep the packets passing and the servers serving and the cassettes rolling and the DVDs spinning and the CDs ramping up and the fans and the microprocessors whirring. Yes, indeed, it costs money to keep this network going. Nonetheless, we're here every evening. You'll find links there at strictlyconfidentialradio.com for the MySpace page. And also links there to help you locate music that you hear on the show. And let's see. You know, today was a, it's what I call a no-nap day. The listeners who regularly listen to this show I already know what I mean by no nap day. It means I'm on the cranky side. You know, when you get to be a guy about in his mid-50s or something like that, and you tend to get a little cranky with no nap. So I've got to tell you, if I sound like a gay guy with a radio show that's a little bit cranky, well, you just scored 100% on your final exam. Wow. Mark Levine just called into Bob's show at the very end of Bob's show. Mark Levine, by the way, will be calling back for the horn section that follows this show at 11 p.m. for more updates regarding Bush-Bama-gate. Apparently, Mark has just told us breaking news that, in fact, the Bush administration, through the State Department, I believe, has been peeking into Obama's passport records, and which they have absolutely no business doing. It's confidential. And this could very well be the straw that broke the camel's back. Perhaps we'll finally get an impeachment for George W. Bush and the rest of the criminals. Wouldn't that be wonderful? By the way, just before the show started, I got a delightful email from Melba Jackson, actually Brother Russell. You folks all remember Brother Russell. In fact, we've got to have Melba back on the show. Melba is the delightful guest who calls in conservative radio shows or some of the right wing preachers and spoofs them in such an eloquent manner that you've just got to hear Melba in action to believe it. In any case, Brother Russell sent us a George W. Bush resume, which he may be needing as soon as he gets out of prison, and it's absolutely fabulous. It's just, I can't wait to go over this with you. We'll get to that a little bit later in the program. You know, Bob was talking about the situation with the mainstream media in a total uproar over Obama's pastor, and indeed, we've heard little else over the last couple of days. It's it seems to be everyone's trying to whip that up into a frenzy. In my personal opinion, for a couple of reasons, one to scare the more centrist voters who might vote for Barack Obama into switching over to Hillary as the candidate of choice. This, of course, would fall directly into their plans because they've been planning the anti-Hillary campaign for years and years. They've got it all tape recorded and filed away and ready to play back to the American public. But as long as a Barack is still in the equation, they are honestly at a bit of a loss as to how to deal with that. Another aspect is to reduce the gay vote for Barack Obama. There are a number of he's rapidly becoming more and more popular in the LGBT community, even though in the beginning there was a large endorsement for Hillary. That seems to be in the process of changing. The reason that this would discourage LGBT voters, we all have heard the rhetoric coming from both black and white pulpits, the anti-gay hate speech that we hear on a daily basis and that we report here on this show on Strictly Confidential. And by linking Barack as closely as possible with an angry black minister, you can sort of pass off to people that maybe you should be a little bit concerned about Barack's commitment to LGBT folks as being fully participating persons in the American society. Nonetheless, I have some new information about the minister, some very interesting information. His minister is very controversial, and he actually has a church of around 8,000 members. It's the Trinity United Church of Christ. Now, the reverend is the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Now, Reverend Jeremiah Wright is actually retired from the Trinity Church, as the media is probably trying to get across to you, or you may be under the impression that Jeremiah is still the minister at Trinity Church. However, he was recently retired, and not over this at all. It was his time to retire. Nonetheless, he's been hit with a huge firestorm, a hurricane, a tornado, if you will, of criticism after the major news networks, read that mainstream lying media, began airing video recordings of some of his very fiery and racially charged sermons, including one in which he blamed U.S. foreign policy for September 11. Well, imagine that. Imagine that he spoke the truth. How dare him speak the truth in a pulpit in the United States of America? That's simply not done. Yes, America, foreign policy was a huge component of the rage that drove those folks to attack. One was our having bases on what they consider their holy land, or their at least their sovereign territory, and we are famous for putting up military bases wherever we can stick one up, and that was one of the reasons our foreign policy encouraged the September 11 attacks, which I'm not saying are justified. I'm just saying that, yes, you can partly blame U.S. foreign policy for the rage that those folks feel against us. In any case, in a speech in Philadelphia, this was on Tuesday, Obama distanced himself from Wright's political positions, but he refused to disown his pastor, for nearly 20 years, and he spoke again of his praise for Wright as his spiritual mentor. Now, this whole thing that's come up with the rival between Hillary and the gay vote coming up in the Pennsylvania primaries, and then Wright's controversial sermons have really raised questions amongst a number of activists, at least in the LGBT community, about that longtime pastor and if he was among the preachers who also delivered fire and brimstone and you're going to go to hell sermons attacking LGBT folks. Well, guess what? Rick Garcia, who is the director of Equality Illinois, of course, that's a Chicago-based gay rights group. We have many of the equality groups on this show. We have not had Equality Illinois in the show yet. Rick Garcia says, absolutely not. Trinity Church, of which the pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, recently retired. This is the pastor who is causing the controversy, according to the mainstream media. Trinity has been amongst the strongest supporters of LGBT rights. I have the highest regard and admiration for Reverend Wright, that was spoken by Rick Garcia. Also, Chicago resident Ronald Wadley, who's also a member of Trinity United Church, said that Wright enthusiastically backed suggestions by gay church members to create a gay and lesbian singles ministry as a part of the church's existing ministry to heterosexual singles and now extending it to homosexual singles. We're calling it the same gender loving family ministry, says Wadley. And it's a ministry that was formed to allow people to have an outlet to reconcile their sexuality with their spirituality. They go on to say that he has always been supportive of gay issues. And his stance has been that we all go by under the credence of John 16, which is that we are all created equal by God. Now, Wright could not be reached for comment on this particular story that I'm going over now. But nonetheless, there are comments by new pastors and also that's Reverend Otis Moss and a pastor, Stacy Edwards, who is an official with the church community ministries, and also Rainey Cheeks. Now, Rainey Cheeks is a pastor of Washington's Inner Light Ministries, which has a mostly black gay congregation. Now, Rainey Cheeks indicates that Reverend Wright has given him strong support and encouragement in his role as an openly gay minister in the 17 years the two have known each other. He also says, when I was on a panel with them at a religious conference, some of the ministers expressed anti-gay views. Cheeks is relating this. And Reverend Wright stuck up for me. He says that he defended me and he spoke out on my behalf. And Cheeks also noted that Wright started one of Chicago's first church-run AIDS ministries at Trinity and boasted about having a sizable number of gays in his congregation. He openly boasted about having a sizable number of gays, which there was a little bit of controversy at one point because even though he openly embraced and supported the LGBT community, he never accepted an invitation from the offices of Ruth Garwood, who's the director of United Church of Christ Coalition for LGBT Concerns. He never accepted an invitation to become an official open and affirming congregation, which is how the United Church of Christ does this. You can become an official open and affirming church. However, it's simply irrelevant. After 17 years of solid support for the LGBT community, whether or not he formally set the church up as a open and affirming church is pretty much irrelevant. Now, there are several other United Churches of Christ in the Chicago area that have adopted the open and affirming status, but Reverend Wright's was not one of them. It goes on to reveal that the Trinity Church, of which Reverend White was a pastor for many years, clearly followed the spirit of the declaration based on the support of other gay church members we have received. It's been truly wonderful. There are various comments about this, that, and the other, gay marriage, etc., etc. One comment that the Reverend Wright made, and I can completely understand this. In fact, I have hinted about this early when this particular program came on the air. Reverend Wright spoke out to his congregation. There are 44 million Americans with no health care insurance. And he's asking a question, is that less important than gay marriage? He wrote, why aren't black Christians in an uproar about that? Maybe I'm missing something. And in all actuality, I interpret the statement simply meaning that if the black ministers are so upset about gay marriage, where's the outrage regarding the fact that 44 million Americans have no health care? I have to echo that with them. That's, of course, a grave concern. If you can't get health care, it doesn't matter much who you sleep with if you can't remain a healthy individual and at least enjoy the years that you have on this planet. It's been quoted that he's never been a barrier. These are from various LGBT activists. He's never been a barrier to gay rights at all. That there's absolutely no hint that Obama's support for gay rights has been curtailed in any way because of his affiliation with Wright or the Trinity Church, and noted that Obama has been a strong supporter on gay issues since he first entered politics as a candidate for the Illinois State Senate. He notes also that Obama and his wife, Michelle, regularly attend gay community events in the state, and that there is a great comfort level with Barack and his encounters with both gay men and lesbians. And Obama has made it quite clear that he views Reverend Wright as a religious advisor, rather, who introduced him to his Christian faith, and not a political advisor. And in fact, interestingly enough, one of the sermons that Reverend Wright preached in the early 90s, mind you, this is back when Bill Clinton was bellowing out before the crowds in California, I see a future and you're in it, and all the LGBT folks cheered and cried, and we pretty much, you see where we are today. Anything that we got, we had to fight to get the Clinton administration. Sure didn't help us very much. We got Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was pretty much, well, you can argue that either way, that was the best you could get, but still. No. In any case, his sermon, getting back to, told you I didn't have my nap face, I'm wandering behind the chicken. One of his sermons in the early 90s was titled Good News for Homosexuals. This is from Wright, who is being charged with being a throwback, highly prejudiced and anti-gay pastor, at least trying to pass him off as being that so as to tarnish Obama's image. The topic of the sermon, I've given you the title, Good News for Homosexuals. The topic, Wright told in that sermon how he believes God does not limit his love to just heterosexuals. He said in the sermon, I refuse to limit my God, to lock God into my cultural understandings, because culture is fickle, and culture is often wrong. Culture was wrong about slavery. Culture was wrong about women. Culture was wrong about Africans and Indians, and culture was wrong about Christ. He said, I've been the pariah among many of my clergy colleagues who somehow see me as defective, are not quite, you know, saved, because I won't join them in their homophobic gay bashing and misquoting scripture. So, hear, hear to the Reverend Wright, Obama's pastor for so many years, who has recently retired. And shame on you, again, for so many reasons, for so very many, many reasons. Shame on you, mainstream media, for trying to stir the pot when there is, in fact, nothing to be stirred. Now, I wanted to tell you that story first, because that's news that every time it's been in the news all day today in the mainstream media, and came up on Bob's show, and it's come up in conversation today. So wanted to get that to you. There, sip of the diet root beer. Made me everything I am today. It's not root beer. It definitely made me everything I am today. Violence. Violent men are the biggest source of domestic violence. Is that a surprise to anyone? Not violent women, but violent men. So how has Christianity served to deal with the abuse of women? An important factor in that can be found in how churches have traditionally regarded the institution of marriage itself. The ideal marriage is often counseled, as we heard last night from Bonnie, that when women are finding out their husbands are gay, they're counseled to just stick with it. You should stick with it. You married him, you need to stick with it until the end, regardless of whether your marriage vows were a sham. It's sort of like a contract, and in that contract, both people who enter into that contract assume that the other, assume, if not clearly stated, are heterosexual. That is the least, that is the very least you could do to honor the institution of marriage. Whether you both be homosexual or heterosexual, that is the very least you could do to accommodate your partner. It simply is a violation of every trust and in every law of contracts for a person to lie about sexual orientation, of all things, when entering into marriage. But nonetheless, in 1982, there was a church response survey in which clergy was asked how they would respond to various scenarios of domestic violence. And one-third of them responded that the abuse would have to be very, very severe for them to recommend that couples separate. And another 26% said that a wife should submit to her husband and trust that God would honor her action by either stopping the abuse or giving her the strength to endure it. Now, I have four sisters, and three of them are happily married. Now, one of them, though, married a very abusive man, and he has passed away, and I will say this freely because I know she is not listening. And he has passed away, and thank God for that. He was an abusive. Now, I have many words, many colorful words. And she never left him because of what her church told her that she should not do. She should not leave him. And I've seen the result of that. She is clearly shows every indication of being a battered woman. She clearly shows that the damage to her psyche is both permanent and deep. Clearly, there are problems regarding the kids. You don't grow up in a house like that with and have come out with well-adjusted kids. So I just clearly have to disagree with the 26% that said that a wife should submit to her husband and trust God but honor her action by either stopping the abuse are giving her the strength to endure it. Well, surely God gave her the strength to endure it, but what a price to pay. And did the children need to pay that price too? Now, it is very clear that there is a percentage of men whose expectations are not met in relationships. And this percentage, some of these men resort to violence in order to force their partners to conform to their vision of the way the world should be. There are men who feel comfortable only when they are in control of the world around them, and they do not function well within relationships because relationships involve another person who has goals and dreams and ideas and love and aspirations of his or her own. Who teaches these men that they need to be in control of the world around them? And who tells the women that they must submit to these expectations? Is it media, culture, family, religion? Is it a combination of all of them? In any case, the violence centers around issues of abuse and control and the desire to have power over and not a relationship with. You wonder why I'm going through that. Well, I'm leading to this. Children in South Africa. Children in South Africa play rape me games. That's right. Rape me games. South African school children are so affected by crime and violence and sexual violence that they play games of rape me, rape me. They mimic robberies in the playground, according to the country's Human Rights Commission. The commission's identified a number of games pupils played in response to violence, including the one they pretend to rape each other, and clearly demonstrates the extent and the level of brutalization that young people have reached in that country. And now to the most disturbing aspect of it. The commission has found that boys are involved in what they call corrective rape. That's right, corrective rape. This is when boys and sometimes teachers rape women who are identified as being lesbian, and they justify that assault, the community justifies the assault, by claiming it makes the victims heterosexual. I'm not sure if I have Agnes or Bob in the studio right now, but whoever I have there, please run the track called Corrective Rape, please.
You ever read something, and after reading it, you can't think about anything else but it? Well, it is 1 o'clock in the morning where I am, and I cannot sleep for the life of me because I came across this article, and the title of it is called Corrective Rape. Corrective Rape. Get that. A male pupil will take a homosexual pupil and rape her with the intent of making her heterosexual. The South African Human Rights Organization came out with this report today, and I cannot imagine that people are not stepping in and preventing this from happening. Let's do something about it. Corrective rape. I cannot believe those two words were ever put together. And I know for a fact that if anyone of you, any of you out there who have ever been sexually assaulted or raped, man or woman, that you know how humiliating this is. I think we can make a difference. So let's see what we can do.
The long silence that you heard was the silence of a woman who was choking back tears, and in fact, it was difficult for me to watch her as she spoke. This was a clip from a video, as so many of our audio clips are. See, in most African communities, prejudice against homosexuality continues to run very deep. It runs so deep, in fact, that the populace in general, it doesn't even appear that there's any recognition that it is a problem that committing sexual violence against gays or lesbians is out of line in any way, shape, manner, or form. Lesbians are being raped under the theory that it causes them to change their sexual orientation and starting them on their way to being sexually attracted to men. I simply can't imagine the horror of that. And January of this year, 33 black lesbians alone have come forward with their stories of rape and sexual assault, verbal abuse. This is only a tiny fraction of the people who, in fact, the women this is actually happening to. As you might expect, coming forward in a country with an attitude like this toward women and toward gender roles, strictly enforced gender roles, if thou art woman, thou shalt breed gender roles. In a country with such strictly enforced gender roles, it is not really a very good idea for a woman to head down to the local police department and to report crimes of this nature. Nonetheless, in January alone, 33 black lesbians came forward. Eight of the perpetrators were friends and neighbors. Seven were familiar. A couple were ex-boyfriends. Some were pupils, co-pupils, students with them. Seven strangers, five attacked by gang members. The victims are told it is to, quote, turn you into a real African woman. Apparently, in that mindset, all real women are heterosexual. And in the case of one of the victims, she was told by her mother, this is what happens to girls like you.
Well, it's not like Peter didn't tell you that he didn't have his nap today. Apparently, neither did his internet connection. So, that's it for Live Strictly Confidential this evening. Here in a moment, we will rejoin Strictly Confidential from the 13th of March. Already in progress. Thanks, y'all. Porn section coming, as is All Foxed Up, right here on America's Liberal Voice, The Horn.
This year alone, there have been 8 people across the nation who have been murdered because of their sexuality. Ryan wasn't the last. In less than a year, there were 2 in the state of Florida.
I didn't realize how many hate crimes there were against the GLBT community. I mean, I realized that they were discriminated against in their civil rights. I just wasn't aware that somebody would go so far as to murder a person because of who they were and that they were gay. That's just, and I still don't understand it. Just because this hasn't touched your life doesn't mean that you can't stand up for a group of people who are being discriminated against. I mean, a lot of people don't get involved because it hasn't touched their lives. So don't wait until somebody you know of loses a child or someone in your family is murdered. You need to speak up. You need to go to your congressman. You need to write letters. You need to tell people this isn't going to be tolerated any longer.
Yeah, she's right. We need to speak up. In fact, some schools are trying to do that as we speak. The American Family Association, though, has sent out an action alert. They are deeply concerned that at a grade school level, this sort of violence might be stemmed, the tide turned back, as kids find out that there really are homosexuals in the world and that they aren't monsters. I've never met a monster. I'm sure that we are just as good as you and just as bad as you, but I just haven't had the opportunity to come across one, which is not to say they aren't there. Our monsters are much like your monsters. We find out about them on the evening news. Let's begin the American Family Association Action Alert, Bob, by running the audio clip. It is an audio clip. It's actually a public service announcement released by the American Family Association regarding something called the Day of Silence. Roll that, please, Bob. Okay, Bob is having a problem rolling the track. The track is loaded, but he's going to have it up in just a second for us. I can go into the article. It makes no difference whether we run the clip before, after, or in the middle. The American Family Association is extremely upset by something they're referring to as the homosexual day of silence.
The basketball team might not be the best, and she does spend.
Okay, I think we've got that track ready, so I'll cover a little bit of this and we can start it back from the beginning. There are hundreds and hundreds of schools all across the country who are having what's called a day of silence. Now, what this boils down to is that children who want to, LGBT kids or straight kids who are part of gay straight alliances or straight kids who have gay brothers and sisters or our aunts and uncles, people who are at least aware, are permitted to remain silent the entire day. Not everybody at the school. People can laugh and talk and answer questions in class. Children can do whatever they normally do in school. But it is permission on a day for children who are showing their silence as a support of what's going on with children, the That's So Gay mess. And in fact, I'm just now looking at a report of someone who was beaten up today with bruises. And on the forehead and black eye. Yes, that just happened today. And so in any case, these children who are standing up and remaining silent, they can sit in class, they can simply not answer a question if the teacher asks them a question. They can remain silent all day. Doesn't sound like too much of a stretch. Nobody's being told to do anything. It's just permission for these kids to be respected for remaining silent. Well, the American Family Association is up in arms, my friend, about this. They have released a list of every school across the entire country, arranged by state, so that you can go down this list and see if there are any schools in your area that are going to support this day of silence. Now, I went through the list. I went through the Florida list. Thank God there are no schools in Tallahassee, who are the capital of Florida. As you might imagine, this is always a no-no subject in the capital of Florida. So, no, there are no schools here in Tallahassee. If those of you who are maybe curious to know if a school in your particular state, you can drop me an email to peter@headonradionetwork.com. The link is far too long to give over the air, and just no point in going there. But if you want to drop me an email to peter@headonradionetwork.com and just ask me, tell me what state you're in, or tell me you're interested in the Day of Silence, and I'll be glad to send you back the link, which will tell you what's going on in your area regarding schools that are giving kids permission to do this. The American Family Association, however, is alerting parents that the classroom disruptions are being done by homosexual activist students. Disruptions, are they? Remaining silent. It's critical that you become involved. A simple phone call or a letter to a school administrator telling them that your child will not attend school that day as it observes the Day of Silence may be enough to cause some participating schools to change their plans. They're encouraging folks to listen to the 60-second radio ad warning folks about the Day of Silence, and they want you to forward this email to your local Christian and your local conservative radio station. And you know, I read stuff like this. You know that spirituality and faith is discussed more on this progressive network than any network I've ever heard? You know, just amazing. But in any case, we do have the clip ready now. The software has been reset on that particular player, and we're ready to go. This is the American Family Association anti-Day of Silence.
The basketball team might not be the best, and she does spend a lot of time selling ads for the yearbook, but her teachers are good, and overall, school's been pretty positive. That's why I was shocked to find out that our high school is listed as a participant in the Day of Silence. How could they let a pro-gay group hijack the school for an entire day? Look, I don't hate anybody, but why should Kayla have to be looked down on just because she doesn't celebrate the lifestyle? I'm going to call the school and see if it's true. If it is, she'll stay home. I'm not going to put her through that.
Find out if your local school is sponsoring the Day of Silence. Visit AFA.net and click on the Day of Silence alert. If they're listed, verify it with the school. If they're a participant, why not consider keeping your child at home that day? Learn about the upcoming Day of Silence and what you can do. Visit AFA.net. Don't be silent. A message from the American Family Association and Mission America.
Yeah, I had to laugh out loud during the... Why should Kayla have to do that? Why should they do that to her? Because she doesn't celebrate it. That's the exact phrase, celebrate it. Celebrate it? What is it, freaking Easter? Are we talking about a new national holiday here? Are we talking about party hats and dressing up Halloween style so you could dress up like a gay person? Is that what we're talking about? Celebrate it. Talk about the war on Christmas. Honey, you have no clue. Yes, Kayla, why should she be impacted by this? Because Kayla doesn't celebrate it. Nobody's celebrating a damn thing, you ignorant. Oh, Lord have mercy. Nobody's celebrating anything. We're simply saying, maybe you shouldn't be killing us. Maybe you shouldn't be killing us is all we're saying to you. And, of course, it's completely twisted. And the way that only a right-wing religious organization can do the American Family Association. What you should do, take action. Check with the school board. Check with the principal. If the school is participating, notify other parents. Notify them about the Day of Silence. Tell them to join in keeping their school safe, keeping them out of school that day. Here's a partial list, and this is the link, which is too long for anyone to ever read or comprehend. Just drop me the email, and I'll be glad to send that along to you if there's a school in your area. Tips: be sure the date it's planned. Inform the school of your intention to keep your child home, and explain to your child why you're taking a stand. Homosexual behavior is not innate as an identity. No, it is sinful and unnatural and destructive, and no school should advance a physically, emotionally, and spiritually destructive sexual lifestyle to their students. And students do not have to tolerate this and remain in class. You know, if there were an award, if there were an Academy Award in hate speech with a dual purpose, it would definitely go to the American Family Association. And as I always like to point out, the email is covered with multiple references to forward this to everyone you know, forward this to everyone in your mailing list, forward this to the TV station, forward this to the radio station, forward, 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 forward. And it is also covered with gifts are tax deductible. Donate with confidence to the American Family Association. And of course, these send money, forward this to everyone you know is a constant staple of the American Family Association. You know what? One other thing about this that really, you know, I just had to have a moment of silence myself when I read this today. If you'll recall the story about Sally Kern, we talked about Sally having been a teacher for some 20 years, and that Sally has signed on to the bill in Oklahoma for what do we call it? Miracle math. Yes, miracle math, where you can basically answer a question any way you like to if you're a student and just put in paren by it, God did it, or God said it, and it is marked correctly. You know, one's mind struggles to explain this to people. When I talk about this, my mind spins to try to explain how stuff like this goes on in this country. I'm always speechless. I'm always brought to my knees for words. I just don't have any way to explain it to you. I'm sure that you understand what I'm saying to you. I've talked with so many of you, and it renders us speechless. But the reason I'm bringing up Sally Kern again, God forbid, why is he bringing her up again? No, I'm talking about her gay son that she kicked out and took him off the website. Why? Well, one of the reasons that the right is so upset about the moment of silence, now bear in mind the miracle math, goes on to talk about it's supposed to promote gay rights, and the day is a pro-sin, blah, 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 blah. And here comes the most terrifying paragraph. Dumbed down schools can definitely contribute to dumbed down liberals who love to condemn judgmentalism while being judgmental, love to condemn name calling while labeling people bigot, homophobe, etc., love to condemn closed-mindedness while shouting down conservative speakers, trashing conservatives and campus newspapers and censoring conservative ideas. I only wish that we could. Love to say they are pro-choice while opposing therapy designed to give homosexuals a way out of their homosexuality, blah, 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 blah. So what they're saying here, and it goes on to say it fairly clearly, is that by having this day of silence, where only a portion of the students, mind you, are simply given permission to remain silent, perhaps silent out of perhaps respect for the number of people who have died, that doing this will cause irreparable harm to the educational system, that by doing this, an entire day of education will be lost. By doing this, we are dumbing down the schools. We are trying to pull down the schools so that, well, You figure it out. So what do you want, kids? Who's dumbing down the school? Is it Miracle Math Lady? Or is it a day of silence? Yes, they are in fact saying that this day of silence is damaging the educational system, and it is our priority as progressive people is not to educate the children, but to follow politically correct courses, and by doing this, we'll be bringing down our standing in the world as a country that educates its kids in math and science and robotics and speech recognition and all the things that we have no idea how to do, you know, anymore. You know, just go to the store, you'll see it's the Japanese who have the little robotic doggies and robotic whatever they are, and they react to you, and actually pretty smart little gadgets. They do speech recognition and behavior patterns. Certainly not coming out of the U.S. Software is not written here. Hell, even the chips aren't built here. But it is us. It is we who, as progressives, are ruining the educational systems by shutting down education for a day. It is us. It is I. It is I. It is not, in fact, that you can say the Earth is 6,000 years old or, you know, answer the square root do your own equation. And when you ask for proof, you just say, you're supposed to demonstrate the proof, just say God did it. Not that I'm beating up people of faith. I are one. But I'm also a person who uses his God-given ability to think. Now, why does the right constantly lift up pro wrestling and the football players? There's anything wrong with football players and the athlete and the Chuck Norris is because they're so tough. Why is that always lifted up? And yet what is despised is an intellectual. Not that I am one. I try. I do the best I can. Like I say, I'm not maybe the best person to do this show. I was just the only one that was crazy enough to volunteer to do it. We're at the top of the hour, 9:58, basically the top of the hour. I've ran it on for an hour now. Let's take a little bit of a break. I have a wonderful track to play for you. When actually, it's a new Larry Sanders remix. Larry calls them rebuilds. When Larry does a track, he takes an original recording, and then nobody can ever tell where he does it, but extends them. This is wonderfully done. And this will be coming up on a future Sandpiper CD, the Sandpiper series. And so this is a preview, an exclusive sneak preview, never before heard anywhere in the world, but strictly confidential. And to find out more about the Sandpiper series and how you can support children's charities by stopping by there, just go to MorningstarMelody.com. And here's the remix. It's Kelly Marie singing Love Trial.
And he's back. Riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential. A man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
Yeehaw! Yes, sir. From a dirt road in the middle of northwest of Florida, or is it northeast somewhere? I'm not going to tell you exactly. Is the location of Strictly Confidential, carefully tucked away in the rural South. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That translates into 877-443-2366 if you'd like to call in. If you have unlimited long distance, you can use 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at Head-On Radio Network. And waiting with us on the phone now is none other than the world's most fabulous lesbian, Kate. Kate, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Hey, hey, sister, how are you? At the end of the dirt road. I've been at the parked at the end of a dirt road at WQRZ in Mississippi for God how long. And they're brought in some dirt and 20 volunteers from Penn State. It's all just cooking. So the radio station, they FEMA guys came up 2 days ago and at about 8:30 in the morning and said you got to be out of here by night, or the marshals will come and haul you away. Poor Bryce, he was just beside himself. About a half hour before airtime, you know, God. Anyway, how are you?
Well, sweetheart, I'm fine, but you know, as much hard work as you do helping in that area and driving all the way across the country to do it, not to mention the lugging stuff around and the chainsaws and you know, trying to live economically while, you know, and what they're going to drag you off a dirt road? What in the hell is this? This is a new chapter of horror.
That got taken care of. The mayor of Waveland stepped in, and, I mean, Bryce started making phone calls like crazy and put the volunteers on the radio and did the show. And anyway, United Way and a bunch of other people stepped in and mitigated the big blow up. And I'm not sure, but I think he's going to get one of those NEMA cottages, you know, those bigger, uglier, they're like little bitty trailer houses, but I mean, they're like little bitty modular homes and whatever. They're called NEMA. NEMA is the Mississippi Emergency Management Association, like FEMA. So anyway, I think he's going to get a cottage, and don't know what's going to happen with the studio yet. Going to have to move it into someplace. Got to build a hard studio somewhere, but that's all. But anyway, WQRZ is still on the air. Emergency radio, WQRZLP 103 FM.
Anyone to kill
them? Fast Christianity,
St. Louis. FM, that's amazing. That's high class emergency radio. The FM, FM skill. The thing that strikes me here is how desperately some of these people are trying to pretend that the emergency is over. Let's say it was 3 days after Katrina struck, and there's devastation everywhere. Do you think for 1 minute somebody's going to try to pull somebody off of a dirt road? But yet today, even though things are almost just as bad, in fact, for many people it's worse. The water may be gone. Right. So what do? You wait a couple of years, you wait a year or two, and then you pretend it's all over by making it worse by I'm at a loss. How does this stuff?
And I know, I just realized that when people hear me come on, and then I start right out with Mississippi, that isn't even why I called. But I can just feel people's eyes rolling, going, oh, God, Kate, get over it, for Christ's sake. If it's not you, it's SARS. Jesus, shut up.
I'm about to do, at some point tonight, if I get around to it, I'm going to do the subject that makes everybody's eyes roll too, Kate. Don't worry about it. I'm going to do the Bush Library again, so I know everybody's tuning out right now.
I saw that on the webpage. I thought, oh, that's very cool.
Did you see that?
I don't know. It's two, it's not 2 years. It's 2.5 years after the storm, and at the studio at the end of the dirt road where where the radio station is, there's still a piece of a TV and a tire in the tree, you know, so, and a Winnebago that belonged to the neighbors that got washed over, and it fell into the little ditch in the bayou, and it's still laying there in the ditch with a pop-up trailer next to it, and we make jokes about, well, God damn, it's been so long, we can't move it now because the EPA, Environmental Protection, the EPA going to come in and tell us we can't move it because we're messing with an endangered species because we've got fish and turtles and frogs and stuff growing in it. So if we move it, then they'll lose their home, and then we're, you know, but so
Lord
we can't wait to take the RV out of the ditch that belonged to the neighbors. And the city of Waveland came and took the structure, took the house away on big trucks. I don't know. When did I get? I don't know. That's sometime in February. It all starts all melting together. But there's still people. The FEMA, the deadline for getting the paperwork in, final paperwork is 15th of March. And people are scrambling. And and the depression's so bad. We had a bar owner of a new, or he just kind of rebuilt business, shot himself in the head in the parking lot after he closed up the other night. And,
my stars.
Yeah. I just lost a friend over in Pascagoula. Somebody wrote and said, Uncle Donald died Friday. So, I mean, he just gave up. He was elder, you know, and he was ailing. But he just, the sadness and the depression, just people just give up, you know. So it's just like elder suicide, you know. Somebody called in.
And these are strong people. These are not people who are weak-natured. These are people who have fought for years against overwhelming odds just to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's a denial that it ever even happened. There's a special place in Bush, right in hell, for this administration.
Well, yeah. The volunteers on the who were doing the radio show this morning were talking about what they have learned about how they feel about being here and whatever. And one of the young gals said, when I signed up for this volunteer trip, I just thought it would be like, oh, okay, I just want to go volunteer and do this. And, you know, she said, when I got here, I had no idea. And that I had heard that, I bet you, 500 times from people. Oh, my God, I had no idea. Oh, my God, why? How come we don't know about this? Oh, my God, this is awful. Yeah, well,
yeah.
What I've been trying to say. So it's, what else to say?
Yeah, it's the standard, this routine that if it's not happening in the mainstream media, then there must not be anything wrong. Obviously, you know, we bought this big screen television and paid $1,500 for it, and a cable box we paid $110 a month for every channel. And so because we did that, we know we're getting correct information. There's nothing wrong.
That's right. Just keep moving here, folks. Nothing's going on here. Perfect segue into why I called. I just heard you say, I might not be there, but I'm the only one that was dumb enough to do this.
Yeah, I do need a little mental health checkup for having launched.
Yeah, you do. I'm checking in with you, mister. and I just haven't called for so long. When I was on hold, I heard Agnes saying, and now, you know, I thought, oh, my God, it's me and Agnes and Peter again. God! I was reminded of the dirt road in Arizona. Oh, Jesus. By the way, I heard from Arizona, and they have, oh, my God, paved the road. So,
oh, no.
Yes. just the north-south road, the little east-west one that's in front of my house, it's still going to be dirt, but... And I'll still have dirt out in the front yard. But if I have to go to the end of the road to get a bar, now it's going to be paved.
you can go really, really fast. You can. It's like chasing tornadoes. You know, you're running around with the cell phone trying to find the bars. The tornado keeps going this way. Oh, my. You know, they're making threatening noises about paving the dirt road here that that separates me from the gay bar across the street. So I'm in total denial. I just cannot have that. That's part of the folklore of this show is the dirt road. So I don't know.
No, the ambiance. We can't have asphalt in front
no,
of the
I'm
bar.
No, I'm in denial. You can't have it.
Only the highest class. We can only have oyster shell. That's about a high class if I want to be, you know.
Oh, that is so priceless that you mentioned that. You know, I hadn't thought of oyster shell road in years. And, you know, in North Florida, you see that down close to the coast, but they are going away the way dirt roads are. People may not know what we're talking about, but somehow they grind up these oyster shells and drop them on the road, and it's like you can't really walk on it barefoot. It pretty much tears your feet up, but cars like
right, right.
it.
Yeah, and it's wonderful noise out in front of the bar. And the longer that driveway is there, the longer the parking lot is there, it gets to be fine dust, you know, because you cut rolling over and over and over and over.
That's
and
right.
And it turns back into powdered calcium, you know. God,
that's
I
right.
love oyster shell parking lot.
We don't waste anything down south. We use our oysters all up.
So I guess the next project for me is just to round up a couple of truckloads of oyster shells, and if they put that damn asphalt down, we'll just have to put the oyster shells over the asphalt. How's that sound?
I can see that. Coming to you live while we're tearing up the paved road.
No, we don't tear it up because we go to jail for that because we'd be touching their county stuff, but we can't
oh,
tear it up.
Oh, Lord.
We put the oyster shells down over the top of it.
On top
anyway,
of it. Now,
Yeah, right. So it's just, we got black and white driveway.
yeah, I'm just tripping on it. I think it's a wonderful idea. I'm looking for a solution that probably, yeah.
Well, there's always a solution, Peter. Speaking of which, the last two nights, the stories with the Scott guy was pretty hot, wasn't he? Ooh, heavy
Will.
Program you did. You did
yeah,
a good job with that interview last night, and I just wanted to thank you because I was just sitting here feeling, oh, my God, I could just kind of feel what you were feeling, and because a lot of that was news to me, too, and you did a good job. You got through it, and I just wanted to honor you for what a good job you did and for what we get on this program. Like, we don't know anything about Katrina because... whatever, it doesn't get reported in the right venues. We don't know anything about the hate crime, only on this show, and I mean other web pages and stuff. But this is you're providing such an invaluable service.
That's so kind of you.
I just want to thank you for that. And that segues into my next little... Bob did his little fluff piece at the end. Oh, by the way, he's wonderful.
Okay, we are in so much trouble. I know you didn't just do that. Oh, Lord.
What?
Bob's
going to...
Well, Bob will get us somehow. I don't know how. But Bob, yeah, he did the piece of... Oh, yeah, about how the announcers, like, gave the little stupid story at the end. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, right. I kind of like to try to end all of my calls with a kicker, but sometimes it's damn hard. You know, it wasn't the kicker I'm talking about. I'm talking about when he said, it's the 15th of March, and we're, hold on, only $200 in contributions. And I just about fell out of my chair. I thought, what? We should have had more than that in PayPal. Has Wayne been to the post office? Jesus! So I just get all mad and think, well, you're just go call and be the bitch boss of the universe again and make everybody mad and go, oh, they walk away when they hear me talking, but I just want to pitch one more time. I sat down and made a list of just the people I know who call in, you know, just off the top of my head, just started writing people's names down in the chat room and the callers, and just it didn't take like 5 minutes to get 30 people. That's the 30 people I know who are listening, watching, reading, chatting, okay? And podcasting, or whatever you do with that, streaming archives tomorrow. If every one of those 30 people sent in $10 this week, we'd have another $300. That's just the people who are chatting, listening, talking, and, you know, that's $300.
Was a
that's
good point.
$10. That's a pack of cigarettes and a six-pack of beer, maybe. $10. That's $10. What have you spent $10 on this last week that you could have sent to the horn? Oh,
well, that's
God.
A very good point.
I know, there's no money, everybody's broke, we're in a recession, we're in a depression, we're getting a house. What did you spend $10 on this week that you could have mailed to the horn? Which brings
well, that's a good way to put it, Kate. It's very
there
insightful, even though you were surrounded by the reports of the value of the dollar falling through the floor and foreign countries are desperately trying to ditch the dollar, and even though we especially people who live in rural areas are paying through the nose to every time they need to go to the grocery store or the drugstore for gasoline, I think everybody has spent at least $10 this past week on something frivolous. I have to admit I have. I mean, you know, it was a boa, but you know, I'm only teasing.
Did you get my email about the boa? Did I email you that?
I'm not sure, sweetheart.
I was standing in front of the dollar store the other day.
Yes, it was fabulous. Yes.
I was holding, and you know that's merchandising. Don't ever touch anything in the store because you will buy it. Well, I happen to know how to merchandise, and I know that trick, and so I don't always. I'm not always a victim to that tactic. As I was standing there in the sunshine, in a basket outside, the sale basket, I thought, oh, God, it'll be 59 cents. Piece of cake. Oh, my God. Peter, this is lovely, darling. I know you've got pumps to match this, at least funny. Oh, my God. It's fabulous. It's a frizzy Angora kind of stuff, and it's hot pink. I'm like, oh my God, oh, this is just fabulous. And I just stood there, and the longer I stood there, I thought, you're going to buy this, some bitch. I swear I'm going to do it. And I looked at the price tag on it, and it was $3. And I said, oh no, Peter, I love you, but not that much.
Well, Kate, what was this like a little tiny small town dollar store?
Yeah, these are kind that are all over the South, you know, where they are. They're family dollars.
I was trying to imagine the size of the town, because to me it says, like, you know, there must be drag queens. There must be like this whole little gang of drag queens that come up there for boas. You know what I mean? You know, it's like we're just everywhere. You know, to find a boa in a Family Dollar store in a little teeny town of the South, that says it all, does it not?
Well, I think it was probably considered a muffler, you know, a wrap around your neck scarf for little girls. But it was like,
yeah, we know what it was.
You know, but I know it was a boa. God, it was just sort of coming right at you until I saw $3 on it. I thought, no, never mind.
You could almost.
I'll wait till it goes on sale.
you could almost sell the boas at cost and make up your losses and make a huge profit on the makeup and the Noxzema and the eyeliner and all the other things that you simply must have with a boa. You can't just leave with the boa.
That's true. I couldn't. That would be so tacky to just send you the boa. I mean, you know, you need the blue eyeshadow. I'm sure your blue eyeshadow is way old. It's probably flaky and stuff, or, you know, blue
eyeshadow. Well, it's been a while since I've been to a ball. So, yeah.
So we know that the blue eyeshadow is outdated, right? So I'd have to send you the eyeshadow and the, you know.
Yeah. Oh, careful. I mean, that's pitiful when I live in some place that's so rural that I can't even get a hold of a boa. Fundraiser, send you money to buy this poor homosexual a boa.
Screw the new computers and the maintenance costs. We need to get boas for people.
Right.
Update your wardrobe.
Oh,
so I just wanted to thank you for, like, all the guests that you've done. I know that you're doing a tremendous amount of prep, and I know from hanging around the radio station that if you can't get on the air, it's just like that sudden, you get kind of in the groove, and then all of a sudden, bang, you're not on the air. The mic is not hot. And that, what do you do with that adrenaline and that preparation in your head and stuff when you don't have the green DSL light? I mean, it's just like, oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Kate,
I have to tell you, after a week of that, it's like I hardly knew what to do, and I'm still not back in the real swing, because that was a solid, well, there's 2 weekend days, that's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days, and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It really is, yeah. It's a tragedy.
Damn tragedy. I could just feel the tension mounting that you you're just getting build up and build up and build up. And that Bob said one night the Verizon, your street was full of Verizon trucks or something.
Not the dirt road. It's the highway, the dirt road connected to it. There was three Verizon trucks on the side of the road, plus two more at the little concrete telephone building that's out here. You know, it's like a little small thing about the size of an outhouse that handles all the phone traffic, right? And we had full attention for a while, but most everybody's working.
Have they found out what the problem is or was?
Initially, what happened was, for whatever reason, this little neck of the woods, this little portion, even though Tallahassee is our nearest major city, we're not connected in through Tallahassee. For whatever reason, Kate, I am connected, along with the others in this general area, connected to Orlando, actually Winter Park, part of the Orlando area. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows why, but for whatever reason, it was a link issue from Winter Park, so it only affected this area. And nobody ever told me what was done to correct it, but it took 3 days. And then by the time they fixed that, we had the storms move through. So, you know, it wasn't one thing. It was...
Yeah. Well, I watched the weather on WQRZ is the emergency weather reporting station. And so whenever there's storms coming in, he's on the air. You know, he'll note that the storm's not due in the Hancock County till, like, midnight, and so he'll go take a nap and then jump up at midnight and go on the air and start reporting that. It'll be in Slidell in 6 minutes, and they're projecting winds at 60 to 80 miles an hour, so if you're in a FEMA camp or get to shelter, you know, that kind of thing. That goes.
My goodness, that's a whole new dimension in that area as these disturbances are more and more often. Every time you turn around, there's some new weather occurrence. And you're right, these are not even, you know, with a mobile home, it's what they call tied down with some kind of strapping, right? And it's, you know, it's like are these tied down at all?
Some are, yeah, in the more vulnerable areas, I think. I can't remember if this one is tied down or not. I don't remember. But anyway, I sat in the FEMA, we had tornadoes sometime in February, I can't remember. Anyway, I had my radio on in my truck, and I was back in my bunk, and I had my radio on, and I could hear him on the air. And as soon as I heard him say, it's due here at 5:30, folks, so please, please get to your neighbors, if you've got neighbors in a FEMA camp, or get them to shelter, bring them over for breakfast. This front's going to last until at least 9 o'clock, so just please get to safety. And I thought, okay, so I gathered up my computer and my bag. If I get blown away, I need to take my passport with me.
You'll never get another one.
Not me. And I walked into the, I just walked up the ramp and walked into the camper, and I said, is this a safe domicile? He laughed. Just sit down, Kate. Just sit down. I got another air to do, you know, whatever. So anyway, I sat through a tornado for probably about 6 or 8 hours in a FEMA camper because, they didn't touch down, but we had them all around us. But yeah, it's pretty bad. But the point of that was, is that, yes, I watch your weather too. I've got the weather maps up on my desktop, and so I watch whatever.
Well, that's sweet of you to do that. I in fact keep an eye on the weather at the undisclosed studio location, and if I would track your weather too, if I knew where you were, but you move from, and I'm slow, I'm old, so I could never keep track.
On the road, screen name on the road.
Yes, right. Well, we did have a tornado touch down and do some damage 10 miles south of here in this little burg called Capitola. You can just imagine.
Yes,
it's not even big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not even big enough for a dollar store. But it did some damage. No one was hurt, but yeah, they were coming through here. You know, tornadoes are actually very unusual for, you know, you read about it in Mississippi and Alabama, and you know, but North Florida, this right for whatever reason, we have been spared that until the last few years. All of a sudden, surprise, surprise.
Well, it's something about the fronts that are stronger, I think, and the picking up. The temperature of the water and the, I don't know, I only know how to describe it by drawing pictures, but it's something to do with the Gulf Stream and the warmth and the coolness of the currents in the Gulf Stream, and, yeah, the ocean's changing temperature, and that's causing all, wreaking all kinds of havoc. The climate change is just, doing things to us that we had no idea was ever going to happen to us. So,
yeah, and it happened very. Yeah, and it's happening very quickly. Nobody realized how quickly. And you know, it's almost, you know, it's, you know, it used to be laughable when the fundies would say it was, you know, us LGBT folks that were causing this. You know, it used to be funny, but it's gotten way past funny. In fact, the other, it was a couple of weeks ago, Kate, I happened to finally get a hold of the Spike Lee movie. It was like the documentary about New Orleans. Have you seen that? It's like four.
Not yet, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's very compelling. And there is absolutely no emphasis or any effort to talk to the liars. I mean, it's interviews with the people who have floated in the water and watched their dogs being shot. You know, it's very disturbing and very grim. So this whole New Orleans and area, and they did part of it out in the counties too, the parishes actually, it's called there. And
right.
So this is very fresh on my mind because I've had a very vivid example of it. By the way, folks, I can't remember the title of it, but it's a Spike Lee multi-CD series. It expands three or four
right.
CDs.
Right. The people who rode out the storms are just incredible. They have incredible stories, and nothing gets me more. Well, I can't even tell you how livid I get when I hear somebody say, "Well, why didn't they leave? They had plenty of time to leave." Well, probably about 56, I think it's an arbitrary number, but a huge percentage of the population in Waveland are on disability, low income, no income, unemployed, were renters. Didn't have a car that ran real good, you know, at the end of the dirt road. I mean, your car gets you from here to the Walmart and maybe the McDonald's.
Sure. Yeah, and you're grateful for that. That's great. I mean, you're just grateful.
Yeah. Yeah.
The smoke comes out of the back. It won't pass inspection. The tags may be dicey, but, you know, you're grateful for it.
As long as it's smoking, it's rolling.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I've had many of those. And so people didn't have the transportation to get out, two didn't have the money for gas, or three, they didn't have anywhere to go. I mean, God, they're already at the end of the road. They've retired, they lost their job in the lumber industry, and they just kind of got bogged down in Hong Kong County on a dirt road someplace to Little County. And they just kind of got bogged down in the bayou, and there they sit. And so when somebody says, "You have to evacuate, this is going to be a big one," they go like, "Where? How am I? What am I going to? God, am I going? What am I going to do? You know, got no money, nowhere to go, no way to get there." But
when I
hear people, and predominantly white people, white northern people, white Republican northern people, white redneck northern Republican people say things like, "Well, why didn't they leave? They had a plenty of warning." God, I get crazed. Or why don't they get, you know, what are they just sitting around waiting on the government to come and help them out and bail them out? And but, well, 70% of the rental properties in Waveland, in Hancock County, were destroyed. Destroyed. 70% of the rental properties. There's just no place to live. So you got to get out of the FEMA camper, but there's no place to move to. So you just kind of sitting there, and FEMA came in and said, "Well, we can do that and that." And then HUD comes in and says, "Well, we can do this, and we'll give you that." And then at one point over in Pascagoula, when I was over there in December in Jackson County, they were offering, FEMA was offering people $4,000 to move, you know, like it's time to get out of the camper and the cramper. And we can give you up to $4,000 for moving expenses if you move 50 miles away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what that?
The little old grandma says, "But I don't want to move to Hattiesburg. I live in Pascagoula. I've been here all my grandkids are here. My great grandkids are here. What I want to move to Hattiesburg for? Your $4,000. You know, I mean, I don't know what I don't. I think." The justification is that, well, there's rental properties up in Hinds County and up around Jackson, and and Hattiesburg and Meridian and up in those northern, not northern, but mid counties, there's more rental property up there. You know, I mean, that makes sense. If you need a place to live, go where there's some place to move into. That makes a little bit of sense. But what it tells me is that, and FEMA was willing to help the person relocate. Well, isn't that sweet? But it tells me they just want as many bottom feeders, low income, no goods, off of the Gulf Coast so they can have the property.
Yeah, big time.
The Corps of Engineers is trying to buy up the property in Hancock County. People don't even know. They don't get started. It bores me so bad. People just don't even, they're afraid to start rebuilding because the Corps might come in and buy up their land. You know, you have to get off of here. This is government property now. You know, and you have to build 20, if you're at this elevation, you have to build 23 feet above sea level. You know how silly a house looks sitting 23 feet in the air on a block?
Yeah.
I said, wow, that's really cool. I mean, when you're especially along the Gulf Coast and all those fancy houses and down in Pascagoula, I mean, there's all these big old fancy houses and they're sitting up on these big old pillars. And I said, God damn, that is so cool. I mean, you just sit there and you know, the wind is blowing and here comes that hurricane, man, and we're gonna weather this one and the water's just gonna come up to the bottom of the garage. And what do you do about that freaking strip boat that's coming at you 200 miles an hour? It's so upset.
Too funny.
blows them damn pillars right out. Oh, God.
Priceless. I can just see it. Only in the South.
And by the way, I don't think Trent Lott has rebuilt on his slab yet. I think there might be a Mima cottage there for caretakers.
Well, yeah. And that was the one Bush was going to visit, if I recall.
Mint juleps on the front porch. People keep making funnies about that, and I don't think that Lott rebuilt yet. So down on the water in Pascagoula by the shipyard. But anyway, but I wanted to just backtrack a bit and say that the service that this show provides, I mean, we don't get talk radio like this. We don't get interviews. We don't get the news from the LGBTQ community. We don't get anything like this anywhere else. And the other night, last night, the night before, you were having internet connectivity problems. They were having problems in West Virginia. John was having some problems. I couldn't, about 11:30 every night, my computer starts going weird. Verizon quit sending the little arrows on my little dialog window, quit going back and forth, you know, to show the mistake. Whatever that, I don't know the technical word, screw it, you know what I mean.
A whizzy.
That starts.
We call that a whizzy in the mid. I don't know. It depends on you.
The whizzies quit doing it about 11.
That's right, when the whizzies stop, yeah.
And so I'm thinking, I mean, I can't even pop back an email to say, I'm dead in the water. I'm going to bed. You know, I mean, it was just spooky, and it was kind of an important conversation. And I just thought, you know, like Australia, West Virginia, Florida, Mid-South, my God. And then my friend in Poland was having trouble at the beginning of the week, and then we lost all those cables in the Indian Ocean and the Mediterranean. You know, the ship anchor dropped on them and cut all the cables to Iran. Just like that, the internet can go down. Boom. And you can't talk.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's very frustrating. It is very frustrating. When you know the infrastructure is there, it's usually that last mile, as Bob puts it. It's usually something that's in your local. But one wonders at the timing of some of these events.
That's not half as scary as all of a sudden the mics don't go hot on the horn. Bang. It's gone. That's it.
Well, you know, not to overemphasize the importance of the network. It is so important. If for no other reason, Kate, it connects us. We remain connected. We hear familiar voices, and the callers have become familiar. I can spot many of them by name. and as we all can, and the chatters become familiar, we have indeed become the most incredible extended family I have ever encountered. And we know each other like we know the skin of the back of our hands. We really do. I mean, after a couple of years...
I know you're wearing plaid jammies tonight.
Sweetheart, you are right. I am wearing plaid black and red jammies right now and fuzzy socks. I mean, you know, and it's no secret. I mean, nobody... We're just family here. You know, I don't care.
I know. Okay. Yeah, I was grinning about that today. Oh, we're family here. And I thought, yeah, you know what I think of most of my family? I just rather not be family. I just like, okay, you know, you're nice friends. That's nice. You know, you're nice like that. But you don't want to be your freaking family, okay? Because I don't like half of the people in my family. You know, I don't have family. I don't have dysfunctional families. And there's always one person who's a mess for a while in the family. And then there's the troublemaker. And then there's the peacemaker. And, the family.
Lord have mercy. And every family has the same structure. There's always a peacemaker, though, Kate. And that's the one that is the most serious. Like, you know, impacted by the whole thing, because they're the person trying to make it all, you know, get it back between the lines.
Yeah.
And so they're the ones
make
that are screaming.
Right.
And right.
You can't see my mom. Your mom's going to be home pretty soon. Hurry up and get the house cleaned up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, here I come to save the day. Nobody's stressed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, right. But the point is that we have gotten so familiar with each other. I mean, we've gotten so used to this network, and it has such potential. But we're gaining more and more momentum. We're making huge strides with programming and audience participation and getting the news out there from all over the globe. I mean, we're all over the globe with we're all over the page with news and the music that we're getting out and introducing new artists. And I mean, it's such an incredible deal. And for people to, and this is where I resent having, I start to sound like NPR. Please, folks, we need your contributions. But what drives me is just the idea that at any moment, any day, the mic will go cold and that's it. That's it. No more. That's it. And there wouldn't even be any way to find out any warning, you know, like the other morning when FEMA comes and says, you need to be out of here. You can't run a business in a FEMA trailer. And he kept screaming, it's not a business. It's an emergency radio station. Don't you know? But they didn't. They wouldn't listen. And
Lord have mercy.
They could have just gone in and, what is it called? It's a STL station to transmitter station STL the STL.
Oh, Bob knows the abbreviations better than I do because he did terrestrial radio. You know, like real with antennas and,
right.
and space
right.
and all.
Right.
Yeah, he would know.
All they had to go in and do is turn that thing that has that button that says 102 on it for something about the stuff from the tower. They all they had to do was walk into that little radio 8x8 radio shack out behind the FEMA trailer and turn that knob, click that button off, and that would have been it. Dead air, and nothing he could have done about it. And I just,
well, you have a good point.
I just shudder at the thought that if we don't pay closer attention and keep our eye on the ball and keep the $10 bills coming in, we are going to lose this. And Bob said tonight, it's the middle of the month, and we are $200, and we need $3,000. And we're already running in the red from last September. I mean, folks,
well,
we just can't hang on much longer. I say we like I own the damn thing, you know, like I'm the assistant producer or some shit.
Well, there's an interesting twist there. You mentioned, you made the remark, I know I sound like NPR, but Kate, in fact, I don't think there has ever been an NPR affiliate that was doing fundraising or even the NPR at a national level that has ever had the callers call in and say the things that you're saying and try to underscore the importance of it. I mean, the announcers do it and the hosts do it, and there's all these slick promos with the music and follow the dancing ball and sing along. But that's what's so remarkable.
Poor Scott Simon's got to come on and do those thing, and then Ray and what's his name? Click and Clack. Tom and Ray have to come on and
Oh yeah, I love those guys. They are so funny.
Yeah, they all do their own pitches and their own promos, but yeah, I guess whatever. Yeah, I guess nobody they don't have callers do it live. But anyway, it's a good thing.
I'm saying it's a good thing though that it shows that this is a very different neck of the woods than NPR.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that the list of 30 people that just came to the top of my head while I was waiting on the coffee to brew, just boom, like that, 30 folks. And I counted that list, and I said, oh, goddamn, if they'd all just spend $10, then we'd be up 300, and that would be 500, and then anything that would dribble in, I mean, maybe we can get another 15, I don't know, whatever. But somebody spent at least $10 on a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes this week. I don't smoke them by the pack. I roll my own. I mean, I make my own, and so I only spend $10 on tobacco once a month, and that's it. So then I snatch that and send it to the horn, you know. So, but we gotta keep the mics hot, folks, because this is just fixing to go away. I will be surprised if we make it through May. I mean, I don't want to speak bad energy, negative energy out into the, but I mean, you gotta be realistic. Got to be realistic, and if the station just went dead, there wouldn't be any way for us to know, except just make phone calls back and forth to each other.
Yeah, but without the whole family there, I mean, you know what I mean. I've got to say though that I can only believe that good triumphs over evil, and I can only have faith that this network will survive, and if only that it speaks the truth and connects with people on a very, very personal level.
Yes.
It is worthy, is what I'm trying to say. It is worthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is no denying that, and that's why I feel so adamant about it. And I feel kind of pissy about the people who don't just spend $10, you know? I mean, or 20 or 50 or whatever you got. Five, it doesn't matter. Just send something. Just contribution. And there's another point. I think you and John and Bob need to take this up. I was talking somebody through how to make a donation, and I said,
yes.
Go to the PayPal, and she wanted to just send it. And I said, okay, the address is right there. Let's go down here. Go to the page, right under that PayPal, go PayPal, da-da-da-da-da, subscribe. Right underneath there it says donate by mail, and she could not see it. I missed it twice. I couldn't find that damn line. And she said, well, God, all I just glanced at that thing, and all I saw was the shiny buttons. And I didn't even see the gray. It's gray on the, it's not visible to somebody who's not, I mean, the shiny buttons are techie. They're geek things, okay? She wasn't looking, and I didn't see it the first two times. I wonder how many donations we've missed because that is not so obvious, glaring, big, big letters up there. Send your check to this address. Whatever, you know, people come.
You know, I have noticed something that's happening on websites in quite a few places. I'm seeing clickable links, these unexpected colors. You know, blue has always been. Everybody knows that blue tech underscored is a clickable link. So it's no mystery. I mean, it's not. Now we seem to be branching off into pretty clickable links with and it's hard to know sometimes what you're supposed to do. I guess young people are laughing at me, but you know, I've been around computers more than 15 minutes, and you know, if I'm having problems finding some of the clickable links,
so did she. She has a bit of a vision. I mean, she wears glasses, and so I don't know, and it was kind of early in the morning, but it wasn't bang in your face, donate by mail, that little link. And it just gone. Are you there? I had to plug my
phone. Yeah.
I was noticing that I missed the link twice while I'm talking her through it. I said, okay, goddamn, oh, go to that. Okay, you're on the right. Yes, it says right there. Oh, okay. And then it dawned on me, oh, my God, I had to walk her through that page three times before she could find the address to Beckley. And I thought, oh, how many people are kind of enthused, and they say, oh, man, I'm just going to go to the web page and just find that address and just send them a check right now. And we lost it because they couldn't find the donate line, they couldn't find the address in Beckley, and we just lost the $25 donation.
Well, Kate, all I can say is that the American Family Association certainly doesn't have any problems putting their clickable money links. You would take an act of God for somebody to miss an American Family Association. I often rant about how to forward this to everybody, and
I don't even bother. I don't want to give them any attention. Listen, I just noticed that we just turned this into a whole speakers meeting here, and we're not going to miss the gay bar across the street, are we?
The gay bar across the street. All of the DJs and all of the DJs know when they decide to participate, which we're always grateful for. All of the DJs know that the gay bar across the street is always. Subject to a guest running over or caller. The callers and guests always have priority over the gay bar across the street. Because, we can all get our cocktail later.
I know, but I didn't mean to run it clear out to 53. I thought...
Oh, sweetheart.
About 40, and then we could go across, just lock arms and go across the street, honey. But I'm still and you got by without having to do the Bush Library tonight, or you still got time to? How long was that piece?
No, the Bush Library is actually we'll do that tomorrow night. And what the Bush Library is their visual aids. One goes to the link that's posted there at Strictly Confidential. I'll tell people how to get to it. We'll post it in chat, and then the audio that we'll play will walk you through the visual aids. It's very sophisticated. It's almost as if it were TV. I planned it myself. So anyway, that will keep the Bush. The Bush Library will keep that's a story that's going to be, at tomorrow night's just as good as tonight or is just as good as the next. Just doesn't matter, Kate. We're always thrilled to hear from you your passion for regarding keeping the horn in operation is remarkable. It's remarkable that you do this and you do it so faithfully and you do it with such heart, and that is very much appreciated.
I'm a routine. I'm a routine pain in the ass. That's faithful, right?
Oh, sweetheart. Oh, I am so not going there.
Thank you, because I know your opinion.
I only mean that you do that in a way that is so much more effective than a host doing it. Because, one of our listeners is saying these things, it's impossible to dismiss it as some like commercial that you can tune out, or like a Hardee's commercial or whatever. It's very effective. And in fact, your calls when you talk about this is probably the most effective fundraising tool I think we have, quite frankly, Kate, if you want to know what I think, because it's genuine and it's coming from someone outside the network. That cannot, you can't fake that.
No, this is not fake. It's mostly fear. And I'm not, I really appreciated what Michael said the other day about in an email about how are we supposed to go with, I really disagree with Kate, how are we supposed to go around with that negativity in our head? Michael, I know you're podcasting this. I love you. But I'm not responsible for the negative thoughts you have in your head.
Way to go. Get them, Kate.
I am responsible. I am responsible. And I know you're a contributor, Michael. This isn't to you. So unplug your ear. I am responsible for saying to the people that we need to take some responsibility and suck it up whatever you spent trivially this week, send it to the horn next week and whatever. So, cause we need to keep the mics hot. So anyway, I love you and I will, be talking to you on down the road and, I'll just, keep it lit as Mike says, huh?
Well, Kate, you are remarkable. There has never been a radio show that has had someone as faithful as you are. And I don't mean my show alone. I mean to support this network. You are irreplaceable. So please take care of yourself. There are no more Kates on the shelf anywhere in the country. We have the only one.
And you say I'm faithful. Does that mean I have to be monogamous? Oh no, please.
Well, you can sleep around with the other networks if you want. Well, we'll just look the other way.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes. Malloy or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yes, Theo. Uh-huh, yes, Theo, he does you like idea.
Oh, I love it, honey. I can check that bowler. If they mark it down, I'll send it to you.
Okay, baby. Thank you so much.
Love you, hon. Love you. Bye-bye, hon.
I love you. Bye. Wow. Kate is a trip. You just got to love her. Her laugh alone is such a wonderful experience to laugh with her. She's such a genuine, kind soul. And she uses her nickname around the network is On the Road. She is literally on the road traveling the country, taking care of people and looking after people. And she is the... she is a doer. She is a doer who the right wing pretend to be is everything that Kate is. She is genuine, and we love Kate a lot. Now, let's see. I need to tell you folks that we will indeed have a horn section this evening, and Mr. John Fox will be joining us. And by us, I mean the mouse in my pocket and Bob Kincaid and John Fox from Australia. We couldn't do this without the Internet. We'll be joining us in just moments at 11 p.m. Eastern time for the horn section, a roundtable discussion of hosts. And then at midnight Eastern time, you will find that All Foxed Up has a remarkable guest, and John Fox from Australia will continue with that. Wow, I think I said that pretty fast. And so, in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...
Musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn. America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section. right here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Now let's crank up the jam. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I had planned on playing hooky tonight. But I watched the first half of the Mountaineer basketball game with a story break.